He's the high priest of our confession, the third chapter. He's a merciful and faithful high priest in the second chapter. He's a great high priest in Hebrews, the fourth chapter. And he's a sympathetic high priest, for he was in all points tempted like as we are, in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, in verse number 15. And in the fifth chapter, we looked at the fact that he was a high priest who came from God himself, not from human tradition and human lineage. His was a unique priesthood, different than the priests that were there in the temple at the time that he lived. It was unique because it wasn't according to that Levitical priesthood. It wasn't according to the family or the tribe of Levi and the family of Aaron. It was a different priesthood. And that gave the people in some way in that day and time a hard time. They had a hard time understanding how there could be a different priesthood. But if they would have looked in Psalms 110 and verse number 4, they'd have seen that God said long ago that there would be the Messiah who would come after the order of Melchizedek. Aaron's priesthood came at the beginning of the law. The tribe of Levi carried that on. The Messiah's priesthood began at his life, not all the way back to the tribe of Levi. We saw in the seventh chapter that Melchizedek was greater, superior to Abraham because he received tithes of him. He was greater than him because he blessed Abraham. As a matter of fact, he even blessed Levi, who was still in the loins of his father. So we can see that the priesthood of Christ, which is after that order of Melchizedek, is superior to the Levitical priesthood. Now, why is that important? Who cares? What difference does it make in our lives today that the priesthood of Jesus is not after the priesthood of Levi? Well, we can start out with, we don't have to become Jews. We don't have to go and follow after the priesthood of Aaron, the Levitical priesthood. You see, it was lacking. That's what the text just said that I read for us. There was something in that priesthood that it did not enable it to do. Look in verse 11. If perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, then what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek? The lacking of the priesthood of Aaron was that it couldn't bring about perfection. It couldn't bring about completeness. It could not enable us to be in the presence of God in a way that was acceptable to him. We're told that the old law could never fully reconcile us to God. If you'd like to keep your Bible out, we're going to look at Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse number 1. It says, "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect." It can't do the job that ultimately needed to be done. It was there for a different reason than that. Look in the second verse of the 10th chapter, and it explains it just a little more fully. It says, "For then should they not have ceased to be offered? If they were offered and they reconciled us to God, why do you have to keep doing it?" You don't. You just don't. It's already over and done. He says, for the worshipers who were once purified would have no more consciousness of sin, no more awareness that sin is in their life. It would be over and done with. But those sacrifices under the Levitical priesthood could not cleanse our conscience. Drop down to verse number 4 in chapter 10, and it tells us that it was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. It's just not going to happen. That's an animal. It's not going to take away the sins of a human. That's not its purpose. Going back to Hebrews, the 7th chapter, our text for the day, we're going to look and notice that the law has been annulled. Look in verse 12. The priesthood being changed of necessity, there's also a change of the law. You know, at one time, this part of the world was under England. There was a king. He ruled under the Magna Carta, the rule of that day. We had a revolution. We established a Declaration of Independence and a Constitution. Why did we need to do that? Why couldn't we just follow the Magna Carta? Because the king wasn't there anymore. That's what the whole revolution was about. Throwing the king out and establishing a president. So we had to have a new law. Right? I mean, that's why it was there. That's why they spent that whole hot summer writing. Because there was a change of command, if you will. So there had to be a change of the law. If there's a change in the priesthood, which is what we've just been talking about, no longer the priesthood of Aaron, but a priesthood of the order of Melchizedek, of Jesus Christ, there has to be a change in the law. You see, if you look in our text, verse 13 and 14 tell us that there is no way Jesus could be a priest under the old law. He was of the wrong tribe. Intentionally of the wrong tribe. He was of the tribe of Judah. One of the other 12 tribes. Of which God never said anywhere that he could be a priest. As a matter of fact, in Numbers, the 16th chapter, in verse number 20, it specifically says only the tribe of Levi. None of the other tribes could ever be a priest. That wasn't something that of the tribe of Judah that somebody, some boy could decide, you know, I think I would like to be a priest. Yeah, well, sorry about that, boy. You just can't do it. You have to be of the tribe of Levi. Jesus could not be a priest. Moses didn't authorize that. Speaking by inspiration. So if Jesus is going to be a priest, then there has to be a change of the law. If we're going to kick the king out and put a president in, there has to be a change of the law. The Levitical priesthood were priests as long as they lived. Some lived longer than others, some shorter than others. But when they died, their priesthood was over. Jesus is a priest of an endless life. I mean, you look at our country right now. We've got a president. He's up for election in November. He may be the president for another 4 years, and he may not. Who knows? But if you've been listening at all of these Republicans that are running saying, as soon as I get in, I'm taking this regulation out, that regulation out, this program out, and that program out. There's no continuity there. Just because a law is a law doesn't mean it's always going to be a law. It can change. Because the president changes. And the Congress changes. If you had a president who had an endless life, then it wouldn't change. It wouldn't change. And that's what we have with Jesus as an endless life priest. Things don't change. There's not going to be readjustments here. Throw out this part and put in another part and change this, then change. His is an endless life. That's what it means to be after the order of Melchizedek. His priesthood is unchangeable. We know that we can always go to him and get the same answer. And what a blessing that is. You can adjust your life to fit what he wants. Because you know it's not going to change. But with that change of a priesthood, the law was annulled. Look down in, I think it's verse 18. Yeah. On the other hand, there is an annulling of the law, of the former commandments. Because of its weakness and its unprofitableness. An annulling. It makes it devoid. It makes it invalidated. It's no longer the rule that we live by. It's been changed. Been set aside. Why? Number one, because it was weak. Number two, because it was unprofitable. Well, in what way was God's work weak and unprofitable? We just read over in the 10th chapter, it was not able to make us perfect. We could not be cleansed of our consciousness. Now, it shouldn't surprise us that the law is changing. And it shouldn't have surprised the Jews. Jeremiah, in the 31st chapter, in verse number 31, prophesied long before that, some 900 and some years before that, that the law was going to be changed because there was going to be a priest after the order of Melchizedek coming. Jesus told us even during his life, Matthew 5, verses 17 and 18, if you'd like to turn there, Matthew 5, 17 and 18, he tells us that not one bit of the law is he come to take away. He came to fulfill it, which is a whole different thing. He says, chapter 5, excuse me, 17 and 18, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I didn't come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled." Jot and a tittle, those are the little tiny accent marks. Closest thing we have today would be dotting the I's and crossing the T's. There's not one of those are going to disappear out of the law. Until it's all fulfilled. Okay? We just read it's all been taken away. So what implication is that to us? That the old law has been fulfilled. Jesus said, none of it's going to go away until it's fulfilled. The Hebrew writer tells us that it has been fulfilled. The priesthood has changed. The law is taken away, and therefore it's fulfilled. Paul used the illustration in Ephesians 2 and Colossians 2 that it was nailed to the cross. That was the time that it happened. You see, the Old Testament law prophesied that Jesus was going to come, that Jesus was going to be handed over to the Gentiles, that Jesus was going to be killed. And when that happened, nailed it to the cross. It's over. It's done. That significant event has tremendous implications for us. We need to know and understand that if the law has been annulled, it's invalid. We can't go there to find justification. We can't go back to a system of priest. We can't go back to a system of a separate clergy. We can't go back to the Old Testament law to find out how we ought to work, worship, organize the church. We can't go back and say, well, they used harps and they used all kinds of instruments. That's been annulled. It's over and done with. It's finished. It's been fulfilled. Verse 19 tells us something back in Hebrews 7 that we need to think about. It tells us the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope. When you take the old law out, what do you put in its place? A better hope. That word better is probably the best way to understand that. That's the theme of the book of Hebrews. That's the key word, if you will. We need to know that that better hope is there. The old priesthood couldn't make us perfect. This priesthood can. That old priesthood couldn't cleanse our conscience. This priesthood can. Actual forgiveness of sins. Not just putting off till the next year. Actual cleansing of our conscience. Not being reminded year after year after year. You have sin, you have sin, you have sin, you have sin. Well, now, we do that to ourselves. We keep begging and asking God to forgive us in our prayers. I just can't imagine that heaven just doesn't ring with God saying, I've already done that. Don't you understand? I've already done that. The old law had its weaknesses and its unprofitability. Better. That's a good word. We always like better. Don't we? Sure we do. This book tells us that Jesus is better than the angels in the first chapter and verse number 4. Tells us he's better covenant than the covenant that we have under the old law. Tells us it's a better covenant. It's better to believe and follow Jesus than it was to believe and follow Moses. And the old law, the Levitical priesthood. And that priesthood is the basis of our hope, not how good we are. Not how lucky God is to have faithful people like us. Because Jesus is the priest, it's better than it ever was before. Our high priest is the one who's passed through the heavens. Hebrews, the 4th chapter and verse 14. He's the one who's sympathetic to our problems. Hebrews, the 4th chapter and verse 15. He's a high priest that makes it possible for us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Hebrews, the 4th chapter and verse 16. Oh, that we could see how his service as a high priest under the order of Melchizedek provides a better hope that we can draw near to God. That we have the right to draw near to God. There's a whole lot more in the book of Hebrews about the priesthood of Christ, and we're going to get to it in the weeks to come. But today, I hope we can appreciate that the Levitical priesthood didn't provide what man really needs, access to God. There was a priest between them and God. They had to take their sacrifice and give it to the priest, who then killed it and offered it on the altar as a sacrifice to God. God says today, we're priests. We're to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. We're to offer the fruit of our lips as a worship to God. A better system, a better way, a change of the priesthood, bringing about a change of the law. You know, as I read through Hebrews, it almost makes you wonder why those folks ever wanted to leave Jesus. That's why the book was written. They were being drawn back by their society, by their family, by their friends, and maybe we should say even probably their own desires to be liked and loved and accepted. But how could they? How could they go back to that old law, to that old priesthood? And how do people do it today? People want to go back to the Old Testament today to establish authority for such things as a separate priesthood, a clergy, a burning of incense, the use of instrumental music, and many other things. Folks, Jesus is the only way to God. That priesthood has been taken out of the way. That law has been annulled. John 14, verse number 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto God but by me. No man. No man. Whether he's a Hindu or a Muslim, no man comes unto God except by me. Are we willing to come to the Father through him? By coming through him, we have to obey him. He said we need to hear the word of God. We need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We need to turn from our sins and obey him. That we need to be willing to confess his name, not only before folks within the church, but before the world. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We need to live that every day. Then we need to be immersed for the forgiveness of our sins, as he has told us. Let's be sure that we and everyone we can influence try to serve God through Jesus only. There is no other way that's acceptable to him. As you look at yourself right now, can you say, well, boy, I've been doing that. I've been following God through Jesus. Whatever He wants, that's what I'm doing. No, I don't mean it just inside these four walls. That's fairly easy. I'm talking about when we go home. I'm talking about when you get up tomorrow. Go to work. Go about your daily life. Interacting with family, neighbors, friends. Are you following Him? Because He is the way, the only way to God. If we can help you in your search for God, your desire to make it to heaven, please, won't you give us that opportunity and do it right now while we stand.